tonight. I thought I saw a hand. All right. Malachi chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse number 10. I know in your outlines it's got last Sunday night's date. I was going to preach this last Sunday night, and we preached a different message, but I didn't want to waste paper just to change a date. So you can fill that in if you want to. Malachi chapter 2, we're going to be reading verse number 10, and we'll read down through the rest of the chapter tonight, verse 17. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering of any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye have said, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, and against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yea, had he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel saith that he hateth putting away, for every one covereth violence with his garment, and saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit. Let me get that verse again. I turned the page and got it wrong. Let me read it correctly. Verse 16. For the Lord God, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with a garment. Saith the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. And I thank you, Lord, for the good songs and the good testimony tonight. We appreciate all that you've done and what you are doing for us and what you're going to do. Now, Lord, I pray you bless this portion of Scripture, this passage, Lord, that we're preaching from tonight. I pray, God, that we'd see no man save Jesus only. We'll love you and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, we've been preaching through the book of Malachi on Sunday nights, and Lord willing, we'll have three or four more messages. It's about two sermons a chapter, maybe three in chapter three. I'm not sure yet. But just going through this book, we know that the book of Malachi, the theme is honoring God through godly lives. And he is worthy of our honoring him with our life. Now, we do not live or strive to live holy to be saved, but we ought to do that because we are saved. Malachi's name means my messenger. He was the messenger of God. But, you know, we don't have any background on Malachi. He just kind of pops in and pops out. The reason being is Malachi, the messenger, was not important, but Malachi's message was what was important and was what God wanted relayed. And last time we were in this book, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, we preached on a call to repentance, how God was using the prophet Malachi to give an indictment against the priests of the land because they had profaned the holy things of God. Tonight, in verses 10 through 17, I want to preach on the sins of the saints. And what they are doing, he turns his attention from the priests now to the people. What had happened was the people were following the bad example that the priest has set. And let me say this tonight, that's why it's important that preachers and pastors be held, I hate to say be held to a higher standard, but we are to be an example to the flock, and we are to live. One preacher put it like this, he said, when I live and preach right here, my people live right here. Do you get that? He said, when I preach and live right here, my people live right here. So the higher I raise the standard, the higher they're going to live. Are you hearing me tonight? But sadly, we're living in a day where preachers are lowering their personal standard, lowering their own standard. So if they're living right here, God's people are living way down here. And it's just a constant digression. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say tonight? And so that's what's happened here in Malachi 2. Of the priests have degraded the things of God. They've degraded the holiness of God. And not only has it had an effect in their lives, but it's having an effect in the lives of the people they are serving. Now, I want to look at four things tonight about the sins of the saints. I've gave you this quote before, but Warren Rearsby said a preacher preached a whole sermon on the sins of the saints, and a lady walked out the door and she said, "Pastor, I can't believe you preached that message on the sins of the saints. Don't you know that the sins of saved people are different than the sins of lost people?" And she said, he said, "Yes, ma'am, they're a whole lot worse because we are accountable for the truth that we have." Amen. I ain't gonna fuss at a drunk for being a drunk. His sin's wrong and it's wicked against God. But I will let somebody who is saved and knows better have it. Somebody help me, amen. I will sound that alarm because all that is doing, you're sinning against light and you're sinning against truth. Look at four things tonight. Number one, in verses 10 and 11, we find the holiness defiled. The holiness defiled. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God. Notice three things in this holiness, or two things rather, in this holiness defiled. First of all, notice the inquiring in verse number 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? God, through the prophet Malachi, he is asking a question. He is inquiring here. Now, notice he said, have we not all one Father? Now, there are people that want to take that verse and they want to preach on the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And here's what they teach by that. They teach, well, since you're a human, you are automatically a child of God, and so you are, they claim the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. That is the terminology. I've never heard that before or not. You may have never heard of it. If not, you're blessed. But wait, what that theology teaches is that since you were born, you are a child of God because God is the creator. He made you, and we're all just one big happy family. Well, here's the couple of problems with that. If everything God made, he's the father, then that means he's the father of the animal kingdom. That means that the dogs and the cats and the guinea pigs are my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Especially that dumb dog lives at our house. Somebody help me, all right? And so that is not the case. And then I'll add to this as well. In this context, who is he talking about? Israel. God was the father of the nation of Israel, if you would. And so this is not teaching the fatherhood of God or the brotherhood of man. And then it's amazing how the Bible always explains itself. Look at the text again, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Yes, we are the children of God by creation, but we are not saved by creation. We are saved by regeneration. Here's what I mean by that. We are all God's children in creation, but we are not all God's children in regeneration. Everybody out there that's here today, they're here because God created them, but that doesn't mean they're saved. That doesn't mean they're born again. By the way, you could go to this church and still not mean you're born again. And so he makes an inquiring, and watch what he's telling us here. He said, if you're my people, you're Israel, you're God's chosen people, and they were, why do we treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? He said, why are you treating your brother like you're treating him if you have the same father and the same creator? They were sinning against their own brothers, their own fellow man. By the way, I want to remind you, every sin you commit is either against God or against somebody else. Every single sin. So there is the inquiring. And notice this. He said, we deal treacherously with every man against his own brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers. You know how they were sinning against their brother? By how they treated the covenant, the word of God. So I said, well, my sin don't affect anybody else. Why don't you ask Adam that question?
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men. I want to remind us tonight, church, that our sin has consequences, and it does affect other people. The sins of parents can affect the sins of children. The sins of church members can affect the church and affect other people in the Lord. There was the inquiring, but then verse 11, notice the involvement. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The word profaned, it's not a word we use often, but I simply define it. It means to defile, to pollute, or to desecrate. They profaned the holiness of God. Holiness is the essence of God. It is who God is. Thus, when these men, here's what's going on in this text. Let me explain it to you. These Israelite men were divorcing their Hebrew wives, their Israelite wives, so they could marry Gentile women. Well, upon doing that, it brought in the idolatry. I referenced it, I think, this morning. You remember Solomon was a great king. But 1 Kings chapter 11 says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. And he goes through all the nations. And you know what the Bible said in verse number 2? Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And it went on to say that in verse number 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his hearts after other gods. Ain't that amazing? What God said would happen if they done that happened. He told his people, I don't want you marrying the Canaanites or the Jebusites, because when you marry them and you marry those Egyptians, they're going to bring their false gods with them. And that's exactly what happened. You know, when Solomon opened up his home to those strange women, as the Bible identifies them, they didn't come alone. I'm going to tell you tonight, we better protect our homes and protect our families and not allow the idolatry and the sinfulness of this world. And let me just preach as Father's Day, let me say a word to the men here. You know, the Bible talks about in Genesis chapter 2 that when God brought Eve to Adam, that he took a rib out of his side. He did not take a bone from his head so she'd rule over him. She did not take a bone from his foot so he'd walk on her. I wish some dudes would get that idea. But he took a rib, the closest thing to his heart. And I got to reading today about that rib. You know what that rib cage is designed to do? To protect your heart. You know why God so gave you a wife? To protect your heart. God gave you your wife. I know you're chewing on it for a second. God gave you that wife to be a protector of your heart. Amen. You know, if you break a rib, there ain't nothing they can do for it. I'm going to tell you, you hurt your wife, it has to heal, and it takes time, and it's painful. We better be careful, men, about allowing our eyes to wander and our hearts to wander when God gave us a wife who is the keeper of our heart. Solomon also said this. I don't know if y'all agree with that or not, but it's true. Bible said in Proverbs 4, we're to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And what Solomon did, he opened up his heart to the strange women, and they brought in their idolatry. And what happened? They turned his heart away from God. You know what God was trying to keep his people doing? He's trying to keep them separated. Somebody said, I don't like that doctrine of separation. Did you know you can't get out of Genesis 1:4 in your Bible without seeing the doctrine of separation? You know what God did in Genesis 1:4? He separated the light from the darkness. He was already separating things. He separated the waters from the earth. He separated the firmament from the waters. He separated the animal kingdom. Why? Because God teaches that doctrine, that law of separation. But here's what God's built up walls in our life that keep us separated from sin. And we go over there with jackhammers and sledgehammers, and we're beating down the things that God has set up. And one old statement is true. He said, before you tear down a fence, you better see why somebody put it up. Notice, and there's so many things I can say here, but the basic sin of these men is they wouldn't separate from the world, and they brought the world into their homes. Oh, we got to be careful with that. We got to be careful. There is the holiness defiled, but look at verse 12 and 13. There is the hypocrisy displayed.
the hypocrisy displayed. Notice the retribution in verse 10. Here's what God said he's going to do. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. God promises judgment in this passage of Scripture. Because the men would not separate from the world, because the men would not separate from their idolatry, God said, I'm going to have to separate from you. That's scary right there. In the Bible, that divorce is called cutting off or putting away. Those men had done that. They'd cut off their wives to go after heathen women. And God said, well, since you've done that, I got to cut you off. That's pretty tough right there. It's so bad when God has to separate from you. He lists four groups of people in that verse. He lists man, master, scholar, and worshiper. You know what he's saying? I don't care who you are. I don't care what your status in life is, what your status in the kingdom. If you're just a man, if you're just a plain man, if you're a master, if you're a scholar, if you're a priest that puts sacrifices on the altar, if you bring idolatry in your home and you won't do right, I'm going to separate from you. By the way, he still does that. Somebody said, well, I'm saved and the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. Yes, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. But I'll tell you this right now. You can hinder his fellowship and his working in your life because of sin. Yes, this retribution. And then look at verse 13. Notice the repetition. I mark these verses, these words in my Bible. And this have ye done, here's the word, again. So apparently, Brother Charles, this wasn't the first time they had done this. We know the nation of Israel did this in Numbers 25, but it looks like these men, whether he's speaking nationally or individually, he's saying, you've not learned from the past. You've done this again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and crying out insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore or receiveth it with the good will at your hand. Here's what these guys were doing. See if it sounds familiar. I gave y'all's chance to testify and shout and cry and have a sweet service, and you didn't take it. Here's what they're doing. They are living with the world in their home and the worldly influence, idolatry in their home, and then they're coming to church on Sunday. Woo! Ain't God good? And they go down the altar weeping and crying and trying to bring their sacrifice, and God said, whoa, I've been seeing how you've been living all week long. You're just repeating this cycle over and over again. It's amazing what we do out there, and then we come in here and act like, you know, we're John the Baptist. I said, we've all been guilty of it. Somebody talk to me now. It's hypocrisy. We are, and you know why we do that? So Brother Tony will think I'm spiritual. So Brother Charles will think I'm something. So somebody will say, boy, he must be walking with God. If you got, amen, I'm just telling you tonight that hypocrisy was displayed and they were doing it in the temple, and God, and everybody's looking around and said, boy, ain't those people spiritual, but they've got idols in their house. I'm trying to be careful here, but I thank God for bringing Miss Linda Androvich to our church, because when she come here, she wanted a job, I didn't know what I was going to get her to do. I mean, I didn't know. And boy, we've given her a job. I'd probably give her more than what she knows what to do now. She is now, if you go on Amazon and search my name, me and her's got a bunch of books together. I listed her as the editor. It says Josh, and it's funny. I got a book on young preachers. It says written by Josh Montgomery and Linda Androvich. As the editor, amen. She's shaking her head. But I just finished the book this week. I write the introduction for young preachers, but I wrote in that book, I got a chat, it's very practical. I even tell them how to match a shirt and tie. Some guys need to know that. You don't want to look like Bozo the Clown when you get up to preach. And because they're not going to take you seriously. I'm saying that book is mean. I mean, it ain't it, Miss Lane? It's very mean. I just tell guys, that's just dumb, okay? Don't do that. And so, I'm not talking about financial position. I'm talking about, you know, if you don't know how to match something, buy a black suit, a white shirt, or a red tie, you'll be okay. All right. But I wrote a chapter in that book called Cussing Preachers. And they do exist. I was actually clicked on the radio. Y'all come back on Father's Day Sunday night, so y'all must want to be in church. So let me just haul back and preach a little bit, all right? I got in the truck the other day, and I turned on the local Christian radio station. There's this guy on the radio preaching, or he said he was preaching. I'm not sure. And I don't mind telling you what, Sloan Lake Community Church, Zach Sizemore. And he cussed right on the sermon. Said he was going to beat the blank out of somebody on the radio. And I'm like,
You got to be kidding me. That's live on the that's on the radio. I'm glad I didn't have my children in the truck with me. But you know, I grew up in a sheltered home. I really did. I mean, I didn't know what some cuss words were till I got to Chick-fil-A. Everybody there ain't sanctified, Brother Matthew. Amen. I thought when I went to Chick-fil-A to work, I mean, everybody's going to be reading the Bible, praying, and we're just going to eat chicken and enjoy. I mean, they serve fried chicken. God's got to be there. He ain't a million miles of that place. Everybody works there like, yeah, you're exactly right. And that's where I learned most of my cuss. But, you know, the ones I didn't know and the ones I knew already, you know where I heard them from? Preachers. I'd see these preachers get up behind the pulpit, and boy, they'd preach, and boy, people would shout, and then I'd get in the back of the car riding home from the meeting, not my dad, but we'd ride with preachers to meetings or sit around the table with them, and they'd tell dirty jokes and cuss and make crude, inappropriate comments about women. It's a wonder I'm not a reprobate today. I'm just going to be honest with you. And what that was, here I am as a 13, 14-year-old preacher boy sitting in the back seat going, wait a minute now. I just saw you preach the glory down, and now you're telling dirty jokes and cussing? I got rebuked when I was 21 for saying something about it by a man I love, and I respect him dearly. He was wrong to rebuke me because I was right, and I made sure he knew I was right. And I mean, y'all think I'm spunky now. Y'all should have met me then. Some of y'all remember those days. I mean, I had more zeal than I did knowledge. I don't have much more now, but I'm doing a little better, I hope. My point is tonight, that's hypocrisy. What's been going on in your home this week? Hey, I ain't know it's perfect. I ain't preaching sinless perfection, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite tonight. These men had remorse and regret, but they didn't have any repentance. That's what we're missing today. We're missing repentance. I never want any of these children to get in trouble because they repeated something I said. That's the way it all. And by the way, that should be the standard of every adult in this church. And we got a lot of little ones around here, and I've not heard anything. I'm just saying tonight, we better guard our words very carefully and guard our actions and guard our hearts, because I don't want to be guilty of it. Here's what God said. You bring that hypocrisy, I ain't going to hear you. I'm going to cut you off. Notice number three. I'm hurrying. Y'all still with me? The holiness that was defiled, the hypocrisy displayed. Notice the homes were damaged. Verse 14, 15, and 16. Because of their actions and their lack of repentance, it had a negative and damaging effect on their homes. Notice who it hurt first. It hurt their companion. Verse 14. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, and against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. He said, you know who your hypocrisy hurt first? That wife who you put away because you wanted to go marry some Gentile heathen and brought the strange gods, and you left that wife who loved God aside and turned. Because the men wouldn't do right, and they betrayed their wives for the heathen women, they committed adultery. And that's still a sin. You don't hear it preached on much, but the Bible still says, Proverbs 6:32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. When you commit adultery, Proverbs 6 says you are destroying your own soul. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. But we should not turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. You know how you keep from committing adultery with a woman, men? You're never alone with another woman. Ain't that deep theology? Amen. You young people, you know how to be pure at your marriage altar. You're never alone with somebody of the opposite gender. And you keep your hands to yourself. Say amen. I preached this years ago, and when we had some parents here that had little ones, they really liked it. When them little ones got to be teenagers, they didn't like it no more. But it's still right. It's still right. It hurt their companion. It hurt their children. Look at verse 15. And did he not make one?
He's talking about God made them one flesh when they got married. Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Not only did it affect the companion, it affected the children. That godly seed is referring to the messianic seed that was coming in Matthew when Jesus comes. He's saying, because of what you're doing, your children are suffering for it. Watch this. God desired for Israel to have a godly seed for his son to be born through. Amen? Now, there were Gentile women in the line of Christ. Rahab, Ruth, but these women turned from their idolatry and turned to Jehovah. But the women in Malachi 2 are not. So what's happening is these women that did not reject their idols, they were corrupting the seed line. Practical sense, their sin was hurting their children. I'm telling you who our sin hurts, mom and dad. It hurts our children. I heard a man say this years ago. I don't know how much truth's in it. He said, but sir, that sin you struggle with will probably be the sin your boy struggles with. And ma'am, that sin you struggle with probably the sin your daughter struggles with. So you better get victory for nobody else's sake, but for their sake. There's the companion and the children. But then notice the cover-up, verse 16. For the Lord God of Israel saith, he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. There's no other way to say it. If you've been through a divorce now, I'm not throwing rocks out, I don't hate you. But God's against it. That's what the Bible says. Now, God's also against drunkenness. And God's also against adultery. And God's also against lying. So if it's a sin, that means you can get forgiveness for it. Amen. Just because you get remarried doesn't mean you're living in constant adultery. I believe you can get forgiveness for sin. Amen. I mean, if we believe that God can't forgive that sin, then you see, we got a problem. Now, I'm not for somebody getting married 27 times and it's hopping on and on and on and on and on and on. There's a problem somewhere. It might be a common denominator. Amen. I'm not throwing stones at anybody tonight, okay? But here's what they were doing. They were committing this sin and then trying to cover it up. That little phrase, covereth violence with his garment, this is a culture reference of that day that was pictured hiding something or covering something up. I used this illustration years ago. If I can find a tissue box. Here's one right here. Come here, Brother William. I used you when I done this. Here's what they were doing. Brother William, you're going to represent sin. I was exactly what I was fixing to say. Somebody said there are no big sins and little sins. Okay. Here's what they were doing. Boy, I'm glad I got that sin covered. God don't see it no more. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. We try to cover our sin, that's what it looks like. I'm not going to put that back in the box. Somebody might want to blow their nose on that. By the way, when we try to do that with our sin, it has the same effect. It don't work. He that covers sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We want mercy, we got to confess and forsake. It's real simple, ain't it? So notice they were trying to cover it up, just kind of going through the ring, trying to cover everything up. I don't want to be guilty of a cover-up tonight. I don't want to be guilty of that. Notice the counsel, verse 16, the latter part. I'm almost done. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. So apparently, there are some men in this text that have not committed this sin. And he's trying to warn them. He said, you better take heed to your spirit and don't deal treacherously. I hate to keep talking about the book, but it's what's on my heart. I wrote a chapter Friday, trying to finish it up. Paul's admonition. He said, "Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine." And he talks about he talks about something really good, but I can't remember how to quote it. Let me just read it to you because I want to make the application. It's in 1 Timothy, chapter number, or maybe in 2 Timothy. Let's see here. I can't find it. And I'm not going to look for it. Try to embarrass it. But Paul said, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. And the whole point of it is, here it is, thank you, Lord. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Here's what Paul's saying. Timothy, take care of yourself. Don't just preach it to others and you not live it. He said, because if you'll continue in this, you'll save yourself. That's not talking about a soul salvation. Somebody will save yourself some trouble. But then watch that last phrase. 1 Timothy 4, 15, 16, if you want to write the reference down. And them that hear thee. Here's what Paul was saying in that text. He said, Timothy, you get in sin, it's going to hurt somebody else. And it's going to have a negative effect. And I wrote about my preacher friend who preached. We come up together. He's a little ahead of me preaching meetings, and God blessed him and used it. He got on drugs, and I stood in the funeral home and looked at a closed casket because they couldn't open the casket because of what sin. And I thought about all those that were left in that wake. I'll tell you, we better take heed. Take heed. The Bible said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Take heed to your spirit. Not somebody else's spirit. Take heed to your spirit. You know, in the book of Song of Solomon, that Shunammite, she said, she's been busy keeping those other vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. You know what we're good? We're good about keeping everybody else's vineyard. But we're not keeping the little foxes out of our vineyard. Take heed to yourself. One more verse, I'm done. The holy was disgusted. Verse 17, I'm done. I'm at 30 minutes. Let me hush. Let me give you this. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. That's a declaration if you're taking notes. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. That word wearied means to be exhausted and to be troubled. It's a symbolic language to show how God felt about their lifestyle. This simply means he was sick and tired of their sin. But they come in, how I love Jesus, but they're living like they love the devil Monday through Saturday. Notice the details.